Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to another edition of our Anchored in the Word morning reflection. And today we are back in the book of James, James chapter 4. So if you have a Bible, I'd like to ask you to take it and turn with me to James chapter 4. We're looking at verses 10 through 12. Again, good morning. I hope that you're having a great day. And let's go together to James chapter 4, verses 10 to 12, as we look at our morning reflection today. I'm going to go ahead and begin reading. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Now, when we come to this passage, we are going to be dealing with a very practical and really very convicting passage of Scripture. And so let me give you a real simple summary statement, and then we'll dig into the details of the passage. This passage draws our attention to the seriousness of speaking evil of people behind their backs in judgment. I'll say that again. This passage draws our attention to the seriousness of speaking evil of people behind their backs. Let's look at a couple of truths that we find in this text that really present that very simple thought to us. The first truth is this. One of the ways we lift up ourselves in pride is through speaking evil of others in judgment. Now, remember what he just talked about in verse 10. In fact, verse 10 is kind of a hinge between what we talked about yesterday and what we'll talk about today. But see how he puts it. He says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. The very next statement is, speak not evil one of another, brethren. Obviously, when James is writing these words, one of the ways, in fact, the first way that comes to his mind that we are being proud and arrogant and we need to humble ourselves, it's going to be revealed in how we talk about other people. Specifically, talking about them behind their back in a way that's evil. And so, the first observation, or the first truth we find is that one of the ways that we lift ourselves up in pride is by talking about other people behind their back. A second truth that we see is this. There's a huge difference between speaking to your brother and speaking of your brother when they've done wrong toward you or toward someone else. Notice the distinction. There's a huge difference between speaking to your brother and speaking of your brother. In other words, when I'm talking to you, I'm trying to communicate something that's bothering me, and I'm trying to actually resolve an issue between us. When I'm talking about you, I'm not taking any decisive action to try to resolve a conflict or try to help you out in any way. I'm simply, in my own pride, addressing an issue to another person that has nothing to do with it. Notice how he puts it. He says, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. Verse 11, I skipped down one section. He that speaketh evil of his brother. Going to someone means I believe that I have the jurisdiction or the responsibility to address an issue. Okay, so if my kids are doing something that's wrong, I'm responsible to go and address that issue. And so I go and I sit down with them and I say, here's what you did. I'm working to resolve it. I'm responsible to do that. And there are times that God gives us responsibility that we need to address issues. So he's not suggesting that we never make judgment calls, we never address issues. He's saying when you talk about somebody, that's an indication that you really don't have the jurisdiction to address the issue. Because if you did, that's what you'd do. You'd address the issue. It means I don't really respect the appropriate measures that need to be taken to render a right verdict. So whenever there's an issue and somebody's done something that we perceive to be wrong, before we come to the conclusion that they're wrong, we have to ask questions. We have to find out the details. In some situations, our initial verdict that we have in our mind, how we think that the situation should be resolved, it will change once we've asked questions. All of a sudden we realize, oh, that step was taken because of this or because of that. And so really, we don't respect the appropriate measures that you have to take to render a right verdict when we don't go to the person. So if I go to you and you have nothing to do with the problem, it means I really don't want to address the problem. I'm not really handling it justly. a third thought about this is really, I don't care about the person enough to want to resolve the matter. So when I'm talking to you, we're working to resolve something. When I'm talking about you, I'm not resolving the problem. I'm actually making it worse by having it affect more people who had nothing to do with the issue. Third observation we find in this passage. Speaking evil of somebody is arrogant because it puts us above the law. In other words, when I'm working to address a matter, I'm doing what's my responsibility. When I'm talking about somebody that I think has done something wrong and I'm not going to them and I don't have the responsibility to address the matter, I'm actually putting myself above the law rather than holding someone accountable to what God has said. He puts it like this: he that speaketh evil of his brother judgeth his brother, and speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. Now, I remember when I first read this and I was thinking about it, I was like, what is he talking about? So I read it over and over and over again, and I tried to really sit down and think about what he was saying. And then my mind was drawn to a couple of passages. Let me share some with you. One is in Leviticus. Leviticus 19:16 says this: thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Okay, very simple. We're not supposed to go and talk about people behind their back. Did you hear what sister so-and-so did? Did you hear what brother so-and-so did? That's what he's saying. Don't do that. That's a violation of the law. So if I go about giving a story about somebody, I'm not trying to resolve the issue. I don't have the responsibility to resolve the issue. And I'm going to other people about it. Well, I'm violating the law. In other words, I've put myself above the law. In Romans 2:1, Paul writes this: you're inexcusable, whoever judges another, wherein thou judgest, because thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. In other words, he's saying, you're condemning a person who's done something wrong, and you've done the same thing. What right do you have to do that? And so I thought, okay. So he's saying, I'm putting myself above the law when I talk about people behind their back in an evil way. And then earlier in James chapter 2, he talks about it. He says, the royal law is love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the idea is that if I love my neighbor as I love myself, well, I expect people to look at me objectively, and rather than talking about me behind my back, I want them to come to me and actually address the issue that they have with me, or I'd like them to ask some questions so they can get an explanation as to why I did what I did. And so he's basically saying, you're violating the royal law when you won't afford to others what you would want them to do to you. And so when we speak evil of other people behind their back, we are ultimately putting ourselves over the law. Observation 4. Speaking evil of someone is arrogant because it makes us an unjust judge of a case that we've not been authorized to take up. He puts it like this in verse 11. If thou judgest the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Let me break this down in a couple of simple thoughts. The first is this: speaking evil of somebody indicates that I believe my own conduct is superior to their conduct. Just let that settle in. If I'm talking about somebody and I say, do you know what they did? Well, I'm indicating that I feel like I'm in a morally superior position as I'm saying that to another person. Yet, while I'm doing that, at the same time, my conduct is actually unjust. I'm not authorized to make the judgment. In other words, God never put me in the place to actually hold that person accountable. I'm not asking the questions that need to be asked. I'm not addressing the issue to try to help resolve the matter. In other words, while I feel that I'm morally superior to the person I'm talking about, I'm actually being unjust in the way that I'm handling them. A second thought: I'm not seeking a constructive approach to resolve the issue. You know, there are times that we have to go to people and say, what you did was wrong, or I perceive that what you did was wrong. Can we talk about it and find out if that's really the case? Or I was personally very offended by what you did. Or, you know, I wasn't offended by that, but I think that offended some other people, and I want to talk to you about it so we can get it resolved. In other words, I'm not seeking a constructive approach to resolving the matter. I'm going to someone that has nothing to do with it. A third thought: I'm not giving them the opportunity to answer for themselves so that they can make adjustments, so they can resolve the matter, so that they can explain themselves. The truth is that if I don't go to them, they won't change. They will continue to do what they're doing. And maybe it is a serious matter. Maybe it's something a person shouldn't be doing. I'm not giving them the opportunity to resolve the matter, to make it right so that there can be a restoration that's needed. I'm not granting them the same kindness or the same justice that I'd expect from them. I don't know anybody that likes it when other people talk about them behind their back. I don't know anybody that likes it when somebody presents a story that has three quarters of the evidence, but the final quarter is what would make it make sense. Nobody likes that. People like to be able to explain themselves. People like to be able to face their accuser so that they can actually resolve a matter. And the truth is that when we don't give people that right, what we want them to do to us, that's a really unjust thing. It's a very unloving thing to do. The last thing I'll mention is this. I'm not dealing with the issue. It's possible that I actually am responsible to address this issue. And rather than addressing it, I'm kind of kicking the can down the road. I'm not being responsible. You know, if I'm talking about somebody that I'm actually supposed to deal with behind their back, I'm being irresponsible. I mean, it's my job to address the issue. And if I'm unwilling to do that, what right do I have to go to another person and complain about the matter to them? I'm supposed to deal with it. God gave me that right, that responsibility. A fifth observation that we find here is this. There's only one person who is truly authorized to pass judgment or to delegate the authority to pass judgment. And that's God. In verse 12, he says, there's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? In other words, God's the only one who has the right to pass judgment. Or God's the only one that has the right to say, you are responsible in that sphere of life to be the authority. If God doesn't give us that responsibility, we shouldn't take it. And if God has given that responsibility, we should do it very carefully in a way that's consistent with his justice and his righteousness. And the truth is, one of the reasons that I'm thankful that ultimately God is the judge of matters and not me is because I don't know all the details. I do not have the ability to get into the heart and know the motives of a person. God knows those things. I'm not able to be truly objective many times because my emotions and my connection to that person in that situation many times makes me biased in how I make the judgment. God is never like that. And so we need to realize that when we speak evil of other people, that's a very serious matter. And we are ultimately putting ourselves in the place of God. So how can we practically apply these verses and these truths that we've looked at today? Let me share with you a couple things I jotted down this morning. The first is this. I need to realize that gossip and slander are very distasteful, they're unjust, and they're unloving. Let me say that again. Gossip and slander are very distasteful, they are unjust, and they're unloving. And so I should never have my tongue that God gave me to use for his honor and his glory and to edify the people around me, I should never use it in that way. And I'm not saying that I don't. I don't think there's anybody listening here that can say, I am free of ever using my tongue to slander or gossip against another person. Every one of us has used our tongue at times in a way that is completely irresponsible, distasteful, unjust, and unloving. And God says, don't do it. You need to see what it is. A second thing, I need to see these sinful uses of the tongue as ultimately an indication of pride. You know, when I go and I talk about people behind their back, that's one of the most arrogant things I could ever do. Now, I don't tend to think of it that way, but that's what the text is saying. The scriptures are saying that when I speak evil of other people, rather than addressing an issue in a biblical manner or realizing that it's not my place to get involved in that issue at all, I'm revealing pride. And let's remember what we talked about last time. God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. And this is the first example after those statements that James gives. And the reason is because this is a very common and troubling way that we tend to use our tongue. A third thing, I need to humble myself before God when he exposes the sin in my life. You know, when God draws my attention to the fact that, look, the way that you are using your tongue is sinful, It's very unjust. It's very unloving. It's very proud. It's very distasteful. When God draws our attention to that, we've got to humble ourselves before Him and say, it's true, God. I admit it. I confess it to you. I plead with you. Help me to have a humble spirit before you and towards other people, because I want to use my tongue for your glory. I want to build up and edify the people around me. I want to be just in my dealings with people. I want to have a life that's characterized by spirit control rather than fleshly responses. And the last thing I'll mention is this. God wants us to use our tongue for godly edification and to bring glory to Him. You know, this is a very negative study, but it doesn't have to be. Because the truth is, if God's addressing how we use our tongue in a negative way, He's doing it because He wants us to see it. He wants us to repent. He wants us to confess to Him. And He wants us to replace ungodly uses of our tongue with godly uses of our tongue. He wants us to put off the works of the flesh. And He wants us to be guided by the Spirit. And the truth is that we can use our tongue in a powerful and a very godly and a very edifying way. And especially at a time like the time we're dealing with, we can use our words to encourage and strengthen and bless people at this time in a way that it can be far more impactful than it would have been before we were in this pandemic and people are afraid. At the same time, at a time when we're on the internet all the time, we are not able to go out and do the things that we're doing. Our minds are busy with other people's matters probably more than usual right now. We are in a place where there's going to be a serious temptation to use our tongue in the way that James says, don't do it. I want to encourage you this morning. This passage was short, and it was very practical. And I hope that we can take this to heart and that we can truly apply it today. And not just today, but throughout the week and throughout the rest of our lives. If this has been an encouragement to you and a help, please do share a message and just say, hey, thank you for that. I needed that today. That was a help to me. That was very convicting. But by God's grace, I'm gonna do what's right here. And I hope you share it with others so that they can be encouraged by it as well. Let's bow together for a word of prayer, and then we will see you next time. Good to see each of you this morning. Father, thank you for the opportunity to study your word. And I confess this is a very convicting, short couple of verses. Father, help us to be not just hearers of the word, but doers. Help us to be honest and objective about how we use our words about other people. And I pray that you'd help us to root out those fleshly responses and replace them with godly, edifying uses of our words. I pray that you bless each person that's joined us today. May they truly be encouraged because of the things that they've heard. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Been good to see each of you this morning, and I hope that you have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you next time. Bye now.